Bibles now, and as we would begin in the book of Genesis, and yet we want to begin in other places, and we're going to be looking throughout the old scripture in these this study of creation, because creation affects the entire Bible, and the Bible refers back to creation. So the first passage we want to look at tonight is in the book of Proverbs. And so let's turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 8. We've been studying Proverbs on Wednesday night. And what a blessing it has been just to ponder the great wisdom that is in the inspired Word of God. And just the day-to-day situations, how to deal with powerful people and how to deal with weak people, how to deal with circumstances of life. With the very wise people and with foolish people, and just how to conduct ourselves. But the book of Proverbs now, we call this poetry, and one of the things about poetry and about devices used in literature is called personification. And personification is taking an object or inanimate object or an object and personifying it and making it into a person. Now, we know that in the book of Proverbs now, this is what we see with the Lord Jesus as he is personified, or wisdom is personified through him. It's wisdom that is talked about, but we know that we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as we begin. Now, in verse 22, now he says, "The Lord possessed me from at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth." So God had you in mind before there was an earth. "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no foundations abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or its fields or the primal dust of the world." So God said that before he even created anything, before Genesis 1 happened, he already had you in mind. That's an awesome God, isn't it? Now, if that's the case, notice he says, "When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea in its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth." Notice the foundations of the earth. Now, of course, he's talking about wisdom. I mentioned that he knows us. That's another passage. I'm kind of conflating them together right now. But basically, we're talking about wisdom being the personification here. Notice in verse 30 now, he says, "Then I was beside him as a master craftsman." So we're talking about the Lord Jesus being the master craftsman. Doesn't that tell us what... in John chapter 1, all things were created by him. And so notice, not only did he make them, but he crafted them. "As I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men." So notice wisdom. I said, I was talking about us being before the foundation of the world. That's another passage. But basically, he is saying wisdom now is... that the Jesus Christ, of course, his pre-existence. He was in existence, and wisdom was in existence before the foundation of the world. And notice how that he laid the foundation of the world, how that he crafted the foundations of the world, and all these things were brought together. All things were made by him and for him. And so the beginning of knowledge is what? The fear of the Lord, or knowing the acknowledgement of God. And so we see that that's the beginning. And really, if the creation and even science and everything begins with God. In the beginning, God. And so let's turn back now to Genesis chapter 1 as we see this. And we're going to look at days 2 and 3 of the creation. Now we see then in verse 6, he says, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Then God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament, and it was so. And the Lord called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day." Now notice the one thing he leaves out. It says, the one verse that this is the only day that he doesn't say, "And God saw that it was good." So actually the verses day two and three are going to be brought together, because he's not finished with the firmament. He's not finished with making the world and its environs. Notice in verse 9, "Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And the Lord called the called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters he called seas, and he saw that it was good." So notice the second and third day, we see that come together. Now, we see then that the first 3 days of creation are the foundations, because this is where we have the separations. We have the separations between light and darkness, and we've looked at light back, it seems like ages ago, because of the snowstorms. We haven't had Wednesday night or Sunday night services, but we saw light and darkness. Now we see the idea the firmament and the deep, which is the idea of, we'll talk about the firmament and the seas, and then we see dry land and the seas. So we see three different separations here, and these are we were talking about the foundations of the earth. Now, in saying that, we see that the Lord laid those. He knew the circle of the earth, we read in Proverbs chapter 8. He also, we see in day 3 that he set the sea as its limit in chapter 8 of Proverbs. And so we see that God did all that, and it was through his wisdom. Now, in saying that, we see that in verse 1 then, we see the foundation, the divisions of the earth, or in verse 6, we see that he says the firmament. Now, the firmament has a word that means kind of like a covering. Many people believe that this covering, or this spread out expanse, was what we call the gap, or not the gap theory, but the canopy theory, where we have a very strong or a very misty or thicker area of water around the earth that kept the sun rays from really hitting the earth like they do today. And that is one reason. By the way, if you want a really good book on this, and you could order it online, or whatever, but it's Henry Morris's remarkable record of Job. It's interesting how that he goes and shows creation. And Job is a philosophical book. It's the first book probably of the Old Testament, and it deals so much with creation. In fact, in Job, after he goes through all of his troubles, and we know about the troubles and his four men, who his four friends who came and dealt with him, three, and then the last man who came, Eliphaz. But then at the end of the book, when Job still didn't know what was going on, and he didn't know the battles between Satan and the Lord, and he didn't know what was going on earth, and yet God came to him and didn't answer and never told him all the things that were going on in the heavens and in heaven with Satan. But in the chapters 38 through the end of the book, he asked Job, "Where were you?" And he asked Job 77 questions. And all of them deal or allude to creation. 77 questions. Where were you when I set the foundations here? Where were you when I made man? And all these different things. And so it's a beautiful story, and it's a beautiful way of ending the book. Well, Lord, Job, I created you. I can do what I want to do with you. Basically, and then the book ends. But we see that that creation then is, and we'll see other passages we're going to be through as we go through this. We'll go through different passages in the Old and New Testament that deal with creation. And it is he that has created us, not we ourselves, Psalm 100. And so it is vitally important that we get into our heads that the world was not a mistake or some osmosis or evolution that came along and made the world, but he created the world out of nothing, and he created it instantly. And we'll see that in a moment. And so notice now in verse, as we go back to Genesis chapter 1 then, we look at the second and third days of creation. And with that, he says, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. And so we know this was something watery, something that was over, and it was over the earth. And he said, divide the waters from the waters. So one was above, was it a vapor, a very thick vapor? We don't know. But the one thing we do know, that before the flood, men lived a lot longer than they do now. And there was a decisive decrease in the lifespan after the flood. Before the flood, men were having children when they were 600 years old. After the flood, Abraham was an old man by 100. And so, and we saw that it kept decreasing after that. This is one of the reasons that many people believe that this is when the dinosaurs were on Earth, the fossils, as we call them, because dinosaur just means terrible lizard in the Latin or whatever. But basically, reptiles don't stop growing as long as their environment is conducive for growth. And that's one reason that in the marshes or whatever, you can have huge alligators, or you can have all kinds of different animals that grow to, or reptiles especially, that can grow to all kinds of lengths if they have the right environment, the right habitat, and so forth. And so there's probably no doubt that, I mean, as far as this is our theory, because God doesn't tell us. So we could say this is what we believe, but this is also, we're basing it on fact. And the fact is that God created it. Now, the evolutionists to come along and say, we don't have any facts, but this is our theory from the very beginning. And the one thing that the creationists don't do, but that to every other religion and every other type of person or science throughout the world and history has been that, well, the Greeks couldn't figure out how we got here, so they had to come up with gods who, you know, the gods of land, the gods of water. Same way with the Babylonians and all the rest. There were different Atlas and Thor and all these different people who made the earth or whatever. But no, we don't see anything besides what God himself did. We don't see any other false gods or any other miraculous mythology or whatever. No, God said it, and it came into being. Big difference between that and every other fascination of man. And so we see that first of all, then there was a separation. This water vapor, or this water from the above, as far as, and also as from the waters that were below. So was it solid water and vapor? We don't know, but we do know that God had a different system before the flood. We'll see later on. We'll see how that he broke up the fountains of the great deep and other things that God did whenever when Noah came along. But notice then, as Noah says, thus in verse 7, thus the Lord made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. Now we know in the Bible that we have heaven as far as We know that anything above us is heaven. So we can look around us and see the we can see the wonders of nature. And then we know that there is the heavens, which we think of, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And that's the space out there beyond us. And then, of course, Paul talks about the third heaven, where he was called up directly into the presence of God. And so, but here we see that there was heaven. It's talking about the atmosphere. And then we also see that he separated the firmament, and he called it heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Now he's not through yet, so he's got to keep. So he's still fashioning the world. He is the great designer, as we see. He was the architect, as we saw in Proverbs. And so verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let there be dry land. So notice there's separation of the waters, and now we see the separation from the waters from the land. So light from darkness, the firmaments, and now land and sea. And so these were the foundations. These were the things that God separated. And then on this, he based everything else. And so we see that let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And he saw that it was good. So notice the second and third days come together. And so, and then God said, he's not through, let the earth bring forth grass. So now we see something that they're desperately trying to find on Mars. Life, anything, any type of life. They're trying to find something out there, a spark, something that could prove evolution. But notice he says, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb of the yield seed, and the fruit of the tree. So first of all, you have berries and herb. First of all, you have grass and hay and all that. And then you have the herbs and the vines and all that. And then you have trees that yields its fruit according to its kind. And we know apples and oranges and all this. Now he's going to say this word kind 10 times. In this chapter, 10 times he mentions after its kind, after its kind, after its kind. So reproduction is after its kind. You do not see an amoeba turning into something else. You do not see a giraffe turning into a donkey. You don't see an ape turning into a man. No, these were all, the word kind can be roughly translated species. And so we know that species today do not change. Apples are apples and oranges are oranges. If you do cross them, then they can't reproduce in themselves, so they don't produce seed. And so if there is a little bit of mutation, as scientists would like to think, or evolutionists would like to think, then there is no reproduction. Adam and Eve were created, and male and female created he them, and they produced after their kind. And so we see that God did this from the very beginning. Knows whose seed is in itself, the seed. I mean, the acorn. Everything about that oak tree is right there in that acorn. I like what the old story about the skeptic. He was walking along with a preacher one day, and he said, look at this. Look at that watermelon over there. It's got a little old vine, and it's got a huge fruit. And he said, look at this tree. It's a huge tree, and it's a small little acorn. And all of a sudden, just about that time, an acorn, as the Lord would have it, dropped on the man's head, and the preacher looked at him and said, aren't you glad that isn't a watermelon? And so God has a way of designing things that were beneficial to us. And so we see that these things were after his kind. So notice, first of all, that he made light and darkness. We cannot, even today, we can tell what light does, but we can't tell what it is. We can diffuse it. We can do all kinds of things like we talked about. We can separate it, but we can't understand light. And yet we know that God is light. And one day he's not going to need the sun anymore, because he tells us in the New Jerusalem he's going to be the light. And so we see light. But then we see also the firmament. And we see how that God made these. And the firmament in the midst of the waters, and how that he created these. And of course, that's the one thing that scientists look for. Oh, if they could just find water on Mars. If they could find water on Mars. And they can't find it. Now, they've said that they found water some places in space. I'm still a skeptic to that. But this was the foundation of life, the water of life, you know, the light of the world. All these terms that the Lord uses on himself are part of his creation, the things that he made and that he describes himself to us so that we can understand it. And so we can't understand who God is, but we can have faith in him that he is who he says he is. And so as the heavens are above the earth, so is his ways above our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. And so we see the power of God. It did not take him any, there was no process of creating the heavens and the earth. There was no process in making the apple tree. Now, think about that. You say, well, wait a minute, there had to be a process. There had to be something that grew. Well, was the Lord Jesus a creator? Think about it. How many loaves and fishes did he create out of a small bundle? Now, think about it. He did that instantly. He did not go out and catch the fish. He did not scale them. He did not cook them. With the bread, he did not go out and bake the bread or gather it and then bake it and then divide it. No, he did it what? Instantly. Because he is whom? He's God. And God can speak the world into existence. And if God can speak the world into existence, then he can also do whatever he wants to do with this world. And that is why it is so foolish for any of us to think that we can defy God. Now, we see that Job tells us in chapter 26, verse 3, that he made the circle of the earth, and he hung the world on nothing. In other words, outer space. Those are things that we didn't even understand till recently about, the idea of flat earth and all those things were totally foreign to the Word of God. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. And then we see, let's just look at some other passages. We're going to turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And verse 2. Okay, but let's see. I'll be glad when I get used to this Bible, because when you get used to your Bible, you can just pretty well put your finger there and you're within two or three chapters. But Psalm 104, verse 2, he says, let's go back to verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. So notice we see that creation, that David, or the writer of the psalm, is telling us that God did these things and he stretched out the heavens. It was God who made the heavens and the earth. And so again, time and time again, you'll see throughout the psalms that it was God who stretched out this earth. And that word the firmament is the idea that he stretched it out. He was like a bedspread. It was a covering, yes, but he covered the earth with it. And so we see that God made it, and he made dry land, and he made the firmament. Notice in Job 38, this is one of the most fascinating chapters in the whole 38 through the rest of the book of Job. It's fascinating. But in the book of Job, chapter 38, notice as the Lord came, finally started talking to Job, and here it is. He says, the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by the words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. And so notice now the Lord is going to challenge Job with 77 questions dealing with creation. But notice in verse 4, he says, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. He says, who determined the measurements? Surely you know. Now the measurements, we know the scientists can tell us how many miles the world is big and all that kind of stuff. But we see that, where were you, Job, when that happened? Or who stretched out the line upon it, the measurement? He says, to what were the foundations fastened? And today, of course, why does the world spin around the sun? Why does it do what it does? Can you tell me? Scientists still can't. They can tell us what it does, but they can't tell why it does it. Same way with gravity. We can tell what gravity is. We can tell what light is, but we can't tell you what. I mean, we can tell you what it does, but we can't tell you what it is. And so we see that he says, the foundation, what are they fastened to, Job? What keeps it all together? And we know in Jesus all things consist. He says, to what are the foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of men shouted for joy. So the idea of Job, were you around even when the angels, so many people think that's the morning stars, or is that the heavens when God created them? But Job, where were you when the earth was created? And so we see that he lays out about the foundations of the earth. And he goes on. And he talks about, he says in verse 8, he says, or who shut the sea with its doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? And when I made the clouds its garment and the thick darkness and the swaddling band, and I fixed the limit of it. Folks, there's one of the key verses. There's other verses we won't get into tonight. But God has limited the sea. Man will not melt the ice glaciers, and we don't have to worry about Philadelphia and New York going underwater because global warming is not going to do it, because it's not man who can do that. Man-made global warming will not destroy the seas or will not make them rise. I just heard there was something about some huge ice glacier that broke off in Antarctica. Now it's what, 10 times as big as Manhattan or whatever, or the Long Island. And boy, we should be afraid of that. Folks, I'm not worried about global warming, especially in the idea of the seas rising. Now, there are going to be places like Venice and other places that are going to have problems, because that's just the way of life and of our ecology. But, it would be kind of nice if San Francisco and New York and Philadelphia kind of flooded. Because there's all those liberal places, I don't mean that at all. Especially loss of life. I'm not talking about that. But it would be kind of interesting to see them lose a few things. But we see that that's not going to happen, because if God can create the earth, God can control the earth. And so this whole idea of global warming, although there's merit to the idea of there is pollution. And I don't want to see the rivers polluted so much that you can't drink from them. I don't want to see lakes. In my town, growing up, Lake Apopka, beautiful lake, but they allowed the muck farmers on the north side of that lake to use it for irrigation, and they messed up that whole lake to this day, and that was over 75 years ago. And it still is in a mess. So I don't like that. It used to be the bass capital of the United States. I mean, people would go down there to go big mouth bass fishing in Lake Apopka. But that was back in the 20s. But after that, I mean, I'm still mad about my lake that I grew up on that I never could swim in. If you ever fell in it, you'd have to go take a shower, you know. That's bad. And so, yeah, I'm an ecologist. I want to see the earth as God tells us to have dominion over it, to learn how to control it and how not to destroy it. I'm all for animals, you know. I love a good hamburger, but I don't want to go out and mistreat a cow. Yeah, so yes, those are things that we look at. But he says, but God fixed my limit, in verse 10, he says, when I fixed my limit for it and set the bars and doors. The idea of, poetic language, meaning I made the circumference of it. I'll keep it within its walls. And so he says, and when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud ways must stop. Notice how he's talking. He says, I did this with the sea. I said to the sea, you're not going to go any farther. Of course, poetically, that's, you know, again, the idea of personification. But he says, okay, sea, stop. And folks, God is in control of the seas, not man. Isn't it interesting how that we go to Job to prove Genesis, and how that they go back and forth with one another. And remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's Ecclesiastes. Isaiah talks about the heavens, and we go into Psalms. And almost every book of the Bible mentions creation as a fact. And of course, we looked at Romans chapter 5 about salvation. And the whole idea of Adam and Eve and the creation of them. And if there was no Adam and Eve, then the illustration of the first Adam and the second Adam and all those things are totally out the window. And also, as for by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so there was no death before this. Notice that God, in days 3 and 4, set up a worldwide Garden of Eden. And one of the things, and they just came out with this again, they are finding in Antarctica, as they dig through that ice, there's plant life underneath those sheets of ice. So that, again, tells us that this firmament pretty well controlled the atmosphere on the earth, and that at one time this earth was green and lush with all kinds of vegetation. And apples were apples and oranges were oranges. Now, that is one reason. I love a good old navel orange. I'm from Florida. But, you know, what are the things about navel oranges? Navel oranges are not, they cannot reproduce. Why? Because they are engrafted one with their combination of several different types of oranges. And as a result, you can produce, and what they do is they'll go in and they'll cut a little notch out of an orange tree, and then they will plant a sapling inside of it, and the mixture of the two will make a seedless orange. But a seedless orange, by definition, means what? It cannot reproduce on its own, right? And so there again, man could do all kinds of things because the Lord gave him dominion over the earth, but there are limitations to what we can do because of the science of it all. And the science of it, science means knowledge. And God has given us a limited knowledge, and we keep discovering things and discovering more and more because it's always been there because God made it. It's just that God allows us to find out things as we go along in life. And so we see then that God did all these things. And I love this. I mean, you could disprove, you know, the Bible just tears up all kinds of doctrine and false conceptions and hoaxes. And we can go, of course, nobody, that's one reason they have to reject the Bible. Because if you go to the Bible, you'll see that global, at least as far as the seas rising and all that is concerned, is a total hoax. Because God said that he created it and he controls it and he designed it. Notice verse 12. Have you commanded the morning since the days began and caused the dawn to know its place? There's separation from light from darkness. Did you do that, Adam? Or did you do that, Job? Do you know how I even did it? I love that picture. Did you see that this past week? The Mars rover, or what do they call it? And they gave you a sunrise and sunset of the United States, or of this country, or of this world. And then they did the same with Mars. Big difference, because on this earth, when they gave you the sunset, there was all kinds of vegetation, all the water, all seas, all, you know, it was just a beautiful sunset. Mars, nothing but red, you know, nothing but desolation. And yes, it spins around and it does a lot of other things, but totally lifeless. You tell me, what is life? Tell me how that grass that grows in the summer, as I get older, the grass in my yard, my yard gets bigger and bigger. You know, just, you notice that? I mean, it gets harder and harder to mow. But just that one blade of grass, and how that the chlorophyll and all that has to come up through it, and how that with that grass it spreads out, and how that it has to be watered, and all these different things that God did. And then you think about the tree, and I've talked to you about the fire oak tree, or whatever they call it, in my front yard, and how that I've tried to keep it alive, and the roots that go down. And you realize now that in the wintertime, with all that snow on top of it, this is a time of great growth, because that's when, in the wintertime, from what I understand, from botanists and everything, this is when the grass, as well as all the trees and everything, it's really start sinking down deeper than they do in the summer. So all those things, you know, so interesting to see how that God made the heavens. Job, where were you when I did this? I'd like to say, Carl Sagan, where were you when you did this? Carl Sagan, of course, has passed away now, but he said 40 years ago, the Big Bang Theory is going to prove that that the world was created without a creator. And now that was 40 years ago. And has the Big Bang Theory proved anything? Order out of chaos? There was chaos, because remember, the Lord made the earth and there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and all these things. But that was the second and third day, when he took all this marsh and all this water and he separated it and he designed them. And he put the sea in one place and the water in another place. And then he made grass to grow on the land. And we'll see later that he's going to create things for the earth, or for the seas. And so all these things happen by God, and by the direct act of God. Is God big enough to do that? You notice he spoke them into existence. He did not take a process. There was no evolution. There was nothing other than the word of God, which is very powerful, isn't it? And if God can create create the world through his word, spoken word, cannot God create a clean heart by a spoken word? So we see that he is the all-powerful, all-omniscient one. He said, who commanded the waters? The daytime, day by day. Job, where were you? And tell me how it happens. He says that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it. It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment. For the wicked, from the wicked, their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Now, Job, I'm still in control of men. And I'm talking about darkness here. They don't understand any of this, Job. And I'm asking you, and you don't understand it either, but you will understand it as I reveal it to you. And he says, have you entered the springs of the sea? And we know that there are springs underneath. I mean, 7 miles deep out there in that trench in the Pacific, there are water springs, freshwater springs that are springing up in the sea. And of course, we know there are volcanoes and other things that are under the sea. Have you seen those? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? There again, what is death? And those are the fascinating things about life, because we don't understand either. And then he says in verse 18, have you comprehended, have you understood the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know this. How would you like God to do that with you? So what is God doing with Job? Job, as he comes to the end, he realizes, hey, I mean, I complain about where I've been, and I said, woe is me, you know, I've had all these wicked and these miserable comforters, and I can ask God why, but God never told him why. But Job says, Lord, whatever you do, I humble myself before you. God doesn't have to explain to us why. Because if he created us, then the just shall what? Walk by faith. We'll say, well, if I understand it, then I'll follow God. You'll never understand it because his ways are above your ways and his thoughts are above your thoughts. Oh, if God will just do this for me, then I'll get saved. No, you won't. If you don't take the revealed word of God today and face value of what God did, then there's no reasoning known to man that's going to happen for you to be saved. For by grace are you saved, how? Through understanding, right? Through knowledge, right? No. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith in whom? A person. And the person who created the heavens and the earth. The person who knew you before the foundations of the earth. The person who loves you and gave himself for you. And so we see that from the book of Genesis springs forth all the wellsprings of life. Salvation comes from this creator. He hath made him to be sin for us. That word made him. There again, the word made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, created, the righteousness of God in him. And so all these things God had to do. And we are saved through the finished work of a creator God. We are all men, the Bible tells us, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, what? He says, I've just had a pastor's moment. Okay, but okay. What's that? Yeah, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, and the word there is creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are created new. And so we see that if God created us, then we are regenerated or we are recreated through his blood. And so everything about our lives, everything about our church, everything, did he create the church? He creates everything. And so we see that God has created us out of nothing for himself. It's just when I say he created us out of nothing, of course, the process there is that he created our parents. And then as a result of that, the miracle of birth. And there again, even with that, he had complete control over it. David says, Lord, you made me in secret from the deepest part of the earth. He says, in your book, you already had it designed. In your book, all my members were written, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God already had me designed before my parents even knew me. We have a great God. And everything is in his hands. So he made the 3 days are the foundations of everything else that happened. Because he separated light from darkness. And every day we celebrate that, don't we? Isn't it good to get up in the morning and sing, when morning gilds the skies, may Jesus Christ be praised. We could talk about that. We talk about sunsets and all the rest. You think about going outside and hearing the birds sing. Of course, that's going to be a later day. But the grass growing, isn't it good to see the grass again after 3 weeks? Of snow, or a whole month of snow. I went outside this afternoon and saw about a foot of my grass from the sidewalk or from the driveway out there, and I almost had a happy spell. Hey, there's grass again, you know. You know, But yet, with all that, God knew how to make it. He knew how to make the snow. He knew how to, hey, the grass is going to come up again. I'm looking at my boxwoods that were planted back about 6 years ago out there, and I know that I got to water them and all. But this fascinating. How does that keep going? And you have, what was it, 2 years ago, 36 degrees below zero. Looks like everything would have been frozen, and yet those things are still growing. Just what does God do? And so we have a great God. And what we need to do, you know, go home tonight. If anybody got an apple, take an apple and cut it sideways. If you cut it sideways in half, what do you have on both sides of the apple? You have two halves. Yeah, but okay, boy. No, if you look on the inside, you have two stars. It's interesting, two stars. So very interesting what God does. So yes, God created us. He designed. Remember that he brooded upon the face of the deep. He was planning intricate details about everything that he was doing on the face of the deep. And so there's nothing that escapes God's knowledge. There's nothing. Every molecule. We didn't even know what molecules were until about 100 years ago. Definitely didn't know what atoms were. And yet God made all those things before the foundations of the earth. God's good, isn't he?
He's good.
And the great thing about it, the thing I don't understand, the wonder of wonders, as we sing, is that Jesus loves me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you'll bless us through it as we would study it, as we would gain knowledge of who you are, and not only, Lord, where we came from in your direction, but please, let's just have a seat now. No, have a seat. We don't do this. Okay. That's it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Now, Father, we pray that you will bless us as we would seek your will. Oh, that you would use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Page number 602. 602. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son.